We've heard that story many times. And yet I think it's one of those stories that we need to listen to again and again, very carefully, very openly, with hearts very open. Because it is not just the word of some person, it is the word of God. And the word of God is always active and alive. The word of God has the power to touch our hearts in new ways, to bring to us new meanings. First of all, it's important to get the context of the story. What was the doctor of the law asking for? He was asking, what must I do to gain eternal life? That's the context. What must I do to gain eternal life? Now, the answer of Jesus was nothing new. Actually, Jesus is quoting two different places from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Jesus gives an answer that had been part of the tradition. And he brings out something very, very essential. That love is essential to entering into the kingdom of God. Love is essential to entering into communion with God. How could it be otherwise? Because God is love. And if we want to share God's life, we cannot do that if we are not loving people. Now, that would have been a relatively simple answer to live had it not been for the question that followed. Who is my neighbor? You know, it would have been very easy for us to say, well, you know, I love my kids, love my spouse, I love my parents, or that would have been an easy answer. We could have kind of gotten ourselves off of the hook and said, yeah, I'm okay. And we could have said, yeah, I pray, you know, I love God, I pray once in a while. But that next question deepens the challenge. Who is my neighbor? Jesus tells this story about the guy who fell into the robbers. And notice that the first two people who pass him by were both religious people, and they were fellow countrymen. The third guy, the Samaritan, he neither shared the beliefs of this man, nor was he a fellow countryman. He was one of those hated Samaritans. And yet, he was filled with compassion. And Jesus says to us at the end, go and do likewise. That's the challenge to us. Go and do likewise. On another level, that story is really putting into a sort of a capsule what Jesus has done for us. You know, he was a stranger to us. Or I should say maybe the Son of God was a stranger to us before he took on human flesh. He was not one of us. He had no need to be one of us. He had no need to reach down to us. Perfect in himself. Perfect in the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There was no need to save us. And yet, he was in a sense the stranger, the foreigner, took on our humanity, died on the cross, rose to new life. He reached out to us in mercy. He reached out to us because of love. What he has done, we who have been reborn into him must also try to imitate in our lives. If we have received mercy, then we must touch others with mercy. That is the challenge. We must give what we have received. What we have received without earning, without merit, what God has freely poured down on us, you and I are called to freely give to others. Again, how can we enter the presence of God? How can we share the very life of God if we are not loving as he is loving? If we are not merciful as he is merciful? Paul, in that second reading, speaks to us in a very ancient hymn about the grandeur of the love that God has poured upon us through Jesus, his Son. By him, it says, all things came into being. All things are held into being. And yet he who is creator, he who is Lord, has died on a cross, died the death of a criminal. Can we let that love, that mercy, touch our lives? Can we let that spring forth into gratitude, and from gratitude into love for God and love for neighbor? For us, that is not an easy road to walk. And in truth, we cannot do it by our own efforts. It has to be the grace of God at work in us. That's why we must pray. That's why we must ponder the scriptures. That's why we come to this Eucharist, to be nourished, to be fed, to be strengthened, so that the love and the mercy we have received, we may give to others.